So for tonight, what I'd like to examine some practical applications. This is really going to the first of the 39 malachas is Zoreya. And we'll begin. We'll jump in. We've seen this Gemara beforehand. The Gemara Moed Katan on Beis Amud Beis, where it has a machloikis amaraim. It says like this: Idmar Menachish Umashkim Mayim Mizraim. So you are watering your plants, your seeds on Shabbos, Meshumai Masvinim Beis. So with what do we give Hasra? In other words, what's the malacha that you're doing by watering your grass, watering your seeds, and cause them to grow? So it's a machloek between Rabba and Rav Yosef. Rabba, Omar Mishum Choresh, your Choresh, that's called plowing, which is interesting. Why would you think that watering my seeds is plowing? Rav Yosef, Omar Mishum Zoreya. And Rav Yosef hold that it's Zoreya. So the Gemara is going to give you the reasoning back and forth between them. The Rambam, Paskin, it's not on the source sheet, the Rambam does hold like Rav Yosef, that watering your plants, watering seeds on Shabbos, we'll see some practical applications of that, outdoor, picnics and stuff like that on Shabbos, is Zoreya. But before we get to that, let's just finish the Gemara. Omar Rabba, Kavasi Didi Mistabra. My Svara is logical. My Dargo Shachorish, what's the derech? What happens when you're plowing something? So the Rafi Ara, it softens the land. So Hainapi Rafi Ara. So too, when you're watering something, that, does soften the land. So it's not the physical action of plowing, but you have to look what the end result is. Joy, you're shaking your head. Watering the seeds doesn't soften the ground? No. Okay. Rabbi Yosef, my pshat, and again, he holds it, Zoreya is more logical. Why? My b'dogosh al Zoreya, letzmuchi peri. It causes the fruits to grow, right? Peros is, when you change the nekudos, becomes ferut. Peresh vav tof, perot, ferut, right? Same word. So tzamchi peri. So hachinami mitzamch peri. So too, when you're watering the grass, that causes the seeds to grow. Right, so okay, so then that's why Rabbi Yosef holds that it's going to be. So then the Gemara asks the Kasha, Omalei Bai L'Rav, the Didi Kasha, right? Rabbi Yosef Kasha, the Didoch Kasha. According to you, it's a problem. Mishum Choresh E Mishum Zoreya Lo, meaning when you're watering something, you think that all that happens is just you're doing Choresh, but you're not actually increasing the growth of an object. Rav Yosef Kasha, Mishum Zorei, Mishum Choresh Lo. And again, Rav Yosef, you think that all you're doing is just causing it to grow, but you're not actually softening the ground? In other words, you're doing both. Really, that's what Abai is saying. You know, when you're doing this action of watering grass, watering seeds, it's causing both things to happen. Yeah? So it says like this, V'chite mehechede ikitarte lo mechaye velechada. If you're going to tell me, well, maybe in a case where you do one action that really has two malachas involved, namely, maybe really it is Choresh, and maybe really is Zoreya, right? But then you're only chayav on one of those, right? And it can't be. V'amr of Kahana, zomir b'tzorach le'etzim chayav. This is a fascinating case. You're cutting the branches of a tree. Zomir is like to prune it, literally. And you want that, so he says, you're chayiv shtayim. You're chayiv for one action, and you have two punishments. So don't tell me, Rav and Yosef, don't tell me that, oh, really, it's only, you really are chayiv, you did two things wrong, and you're only chayiv for one of them. No, if you really had done two things wrong, so this din of Kahana is that you're chayiv shtayim. You're chayiv two for things, right? Achas mishum noteya, v'achas mishum kotzer. One of them is, when, again, cutting this off, Noteya, it helps it, because if you think about it, when you're pruning the branches, I'm not such a big gardening guy. Joey, maybe you're a good gardener. You could help me out on this one. When you have extra too many additional branches, you have to cut one off. And by cutting one off, that will facilitate the growth of it. So the Gemara says that's one thing, that's Noteya. So it seems like you're doing something negative. You're cutting it, but really it's helping it grow better. So that's one malacha. And there's kotzer. You're cutting it off. You're detaching it from its source of growth. That's kotzer for inanimate objects, right? For vegetation and stuff like that. Trees over here. So you have chayv on both of them. So the Morris Lenzov says, yeah, kasha. Says, you're right. Okay, we have a kasha on that. At the end of the day, the Rambam, it's actually a machlokis. I didn't really go through it too much over here. One second, just skipping a little bit. It's a machloikis how we paskin. The Rambam holds like Rabbi Yosef that you're chayv for Zareya. There's a smag. I didn't put on the source sheets tonight, but the Ramosha Makutsi. So he says you're chayv actually for both. Choresh and Zareya, and the smak also. The smak is one of the Balei Tosfos. So it's machlokis. The Rama holds it Zareya, and then the smak and the smag, on the other hand, hold it's both, actually. It's Choresh and it is Zareya. Okay, but let's move on for a second. This whole idea about watering things outdoors, and we'll turn to one of the Mishonim. That was the Gemara in Bo'i Katan, and the Rebbeinu Baruch in the Sefer Truma says, V'chein omra ni davar ha-regilus ki b'kushi yesh lechol b'shabbos b'mokom sheyesh asavim. Oh, someone wants to join. Let's let them in. To join, let's keep a pardes, like in a garden. Shragim lechol b'mosachama. They used to have outdoor picnics and stuff like there. Why is it hard? Why is it difficult to do this? Hatam lefi she'eshar shlo yivenu shamayim lirchotz yadayim olishtos olirchotz kelim. You're going to have water there. You're going to wash your hands outdoors. You're not only going to be drinking something, it's going to spill, or you're going to be washing kelim. V'shochi mayim ala sovim b'mezid b'shabbos. Right? You're spill, I'm sorry, I read that wrong. Mezid b'shas rechitzas yodav b'shaa sheroy tolishtos v'tzoyim chim ha'sovim ayidei kach. So by doing this, by you pouring your hands over the grass to wash for before eating the bread, that is watering them. And that says, I mean, now my psik resha. So are we familiar with this? Let's talk about this term psik resha. Literally, the word means cut off the head. So Dr. Lax loves his kids. He says, hey, I got a great present for you. You want your board? You want a good present for Shabbos? Come here, Bubula. I'm going to give you a chicken head. Thank you, Abba. Tati, you're the best. You give out the best chicken heads. Now, the only problem with giving your kid a chicken head to play with is that you have to actually sever the head of the chicken from the body beforehand. And that's what the Gemara says. It's like a rhetorical statement. Psik racially, almost. If you cut off the head of the chicken, of course it's going to die. And you can't kill the thing. Say, come on, I had no intention. I didn't want to kill the chicken. I just wanted a head for my kid. You know, I ran out of tennis balls. I ran out of the baseballs. I wanted to give him like a little chicken head. So back in the day, that's what they did. Okay, now, Baruch Hashem, we have Spalding, we have Wilson, we have professional sporting equipment. We don't have to cut off the heads of any chickens. I don't think too many of us would want to do such a thing. But Lamaisa, it became a catchphrase. And it means, I have no intention for the result. I only want to do action A. That's my kavana. I want to action A. I just want the head. I have zero intention whatsoever, for the fact that a chicken to die. I could care less. Right? In this, then within a psik ratio, we have concepts where you want the result, you don't want it. If you're actually happy with it, let's say I'm in my backyard, and again, I'm not going to do this, but let's say I was washing a tilas yadayim over the grass and I'm spilling it on. So I had no intention of zorei. I had no intention whatsoever watering my lawn. But the end of the day, I kind of like that because now my lawn got watered. Reminds me years ago, we were in Eretz Yisrael for the summer, and it was during a time of a drought. And our tour guide was telling us that when he takes his shower, so you have to like conserve the water. So it's hot. I mean, I'm sorry, forget it. It's not hot water, but you have to turn on the shower. So he had like a bucket in his shower that the cold water would go into, and he'd catch the water in like a little bucket, and then it got warm, then he'd step in and that would be a shower. But he'd use that water that he caught in the bucket to like water his plants, water his grass, because water was so scarce. So if you're using the water from the shower, so he didn't want to lose it, so he conserved. That's a good Israeli mindset. But at the end of the day, what do you see from this? You see, you're happy when your grass gets watered. But what if I'm over at Moshe's house? And, you know, Moshe's a nice guy, but, like, it doesn't really... I don't care how nice his lawn looks. So can I wash my hands on Moshe's lawn? Psik resha, for sure it's going to cause it to grow, but that's called delo nichale. So that is actually a machlokis in the Rishonim again. As to what's the halach about that? So everybody agrees that we don't do a psik resha de nichale. If even Lawyer Bel Chonin explains this, even though I didn't have kavana for it, it's like I had kavana for action... You know, to happen. So even though I didn't want it, but since I know it's inevitably, it's going to happen. It's not a question. Maybe yes, maybe no. It's going to happen. You cut the head off a chicken, it's going to die. Where does this come up? I'll give you an example where the light is left on in the refrigerator, right? You know that you forgot to unscrew the bulb or tape it or whatever it is, and you know it's closed now. But you know that if you open that refrigerator door, the light's going to go on. So you'll tell me this is a classic example of psik resha, right? Think about it. Do I really care? Do I really care whether the light goes off? No. It's not dark in my house. I can see fine. I don't need the light in the refrigerator. In fact, I prefer for it not to be there, right? So am I allowed to open the refrigerator? Dovi, what do you say? Can I open the refrigerator when I know the light's going to go on?
No.
No, why not? It's lo nichale. I don't care about the light.
Is it on circumstantial that I need to open the fridge no matter what, or is it on a casual basis, like I just need something, if I don't get it, it won't affect me?
I'm hungry. I want my potato kugels in the fridge. I want to eat my potato kugel. I want to eat my deli. I want to eat food. I'm thirsty. I want the orange juice, you know? So I'll tell you like this. I'll tell you the normative psak. Yeah, what's that?
I was just putting it out like, Shabbat says we go for 3 meals, but if I have to have the 3 meals and the meals in the fridge, how will I fulfill that?
How are you going to do it? So at the end of the day, we're not going to open up the fridge. At the end of the day, we're going to get a non-Jew to do it. We could have a non-Jew, because there's some poskim that hold that there's no problem of Amir La'akum for Psik Resha, right? That you totally ask your neighbor to come and, can you open the fridge? Can you get it out for me? Or could you unscrew the light bulb for me? Can you Psik Resha? Amir La'akum for Psik Resha. I tell you what the absolute worst thing to do is. The worst thing you could possibly do is to tell your child to open up that refrigerator. For a parent to instruct their child to do something that's also in Shabbos is on the parent's iser deraisa. People don't realize that. But your children, your mitzvah to command your children not to do malacha. So if you're telling your child to do something, oh, he's under bar mitzvah, 9 years old, 10 years old, just have them do it. They'll be the shagits. No. Don't do that. But I was researching this, and I came across a tshuva from Rabbi Yitzchak Abadi. So Rabbi Simon is very close with him, and he quotes him in his shiurim very frequently. When I was in the shiur, I didn't hear Simon quoting him so much, but he told me he came close to him years afterwards. But he has in his halacha sefer, he wants to say a chiddush, which is not necessarily relied upon, but Rav Abadi is a posek with broad shoulders. He's not afraid to call it like he sees it. And the halacha is, I'll tell you like this, it's actually a machloikis in the case, if it's a psik resha denichale, that I benefit, so you're not allowed to. But what if it's delo nichale? There is an opinion of the Oruch who says on a psik resha delo nichale, again, that's the case where I'm watering my hands in your property. So if your grass grows well, that doesn't really do much for me. I can hear an argument that, you know, that light on in the refrigerator is delo nichale, right? I can hear that. I don't really care whether the light's on or off, right? So it's delo nichale. It doesn't bother me if the light goes on. I can see fine without it. I don't need it there. I have plenty of additional light in the room that doesn't do anything. So therefore, he would hold that you could open it directly. Now, the mainstream psak is not like that, and if someone asked me what to do, I would tell them not to do this. I would tell them to ask a non-Jew to do it. But there is at least one posek on record who would allow, in such a case, using this idea of a psik resha. But here, the Sefer Truma is saying that it's a psik resha if you're for the water outdoors. So therefore, he says you shouldn't do it. You shouldn't eat outdoors. Shouldn't eat outdoors because of all these concerns that he's bringing up about the water and then tilas yadayim and you're washing out the kelim, things are going to spill. So this is one concern, not for now, but there's another concern about having these outdoor on grass when the ladies come with their 3-inch high heels. 3-inch high heels are going to make a hole in the grass. So that's a separate concern about having outdoor kiddushes and stuff like that on Shabbos. But this comes up in the summertime all the time. You know, you have a Shabbos party and your kids want to do something outdoors and you have to be careful. Make sure that not to spill on them. Okay, let's see in Halacha now. In Orach Chaim, this is the next source, is Reish, I'm sorry, Shin Lamed Vav. Says the Mechaber like this, Mutter Leilech Al Gabei Asavim Bein Lachim Ein Yveshim. You're allowed to walk on grass, whether it's lach, which means wet, whether it's yavesh, it's dry. Because you have no kavanah whatsoever to, you know, you're walking through the grass that it's going to uproot it. If you're eating in a gan, in a garden, you're eating outdoors, right? So it's osur to wash your hands on top of the grass. It's a psik reisha, which again, this is based upon from the Rabbeinu Baruch in the Sefer Trum, which we just saw in the previous source. You're allowed to walk around miraglayim. So this is, I wouldn't necessarily recommend this, but if a person had to urinate, that's a kilkul. So technically a person, that doesn't help the grass, so then one, it's not actually water, the water helps it grow. You know, and the miraglayim is bad for it, so therefore that's a kilkul, and that would be actually technically allowed. Hagah comes along the Ramah, because I'm just going to highlight this. The Ramah is Ramosha Isalis. He begins every comment of his with the words Hagah, which means a note. That Rabbi Moshe Isalis and Rabbi Yosef Kar were contemporaries. Rabbi Moshe Isalis was in Krakow, Poland, and the Mechaber Rabbi Yosef Kar was living simultaneously in Tzfat, in northern Eretz Israel. And they were both writing a compendium of halacha. So in a great move that, in my opinion, not my opinion, based on scholars, have pointed out, this move that what Moshe Isalis did is it saved Judaism. Because instead of having two separate Shulchan Aruch, one for Sfarad and one for the Ashkenazim, he, in a very great display of humility, incorporated his Sefer as comments into the Shulchan Aruch. So we have the Haggah. That's where the Ramah thinks. It's Lachain Tov Lahachmir. It's good to be strict on this. Sholech Oginos in Yishtamesh Sham. Maim Debekushi Yeshli Zahir Shlo Yiplu Sham Maim. So you shouldn't eat in gardens because it's very difficult to be careful, not going to spill anything. And you say, okay, so I spilled. Who cares? Big deal. Well, that's a problem. That's a secretion that you're causing the grass to grow. Okay, now we're going to enter into the Gur Aryeh. Does anybody know who the Gur Aryeh? Who's the Gur Aryeh? The name sounds similar from Chumash, but here's a different thing. Not the last. It's the Maharal, correct. So Rav Shachter likes to point out that it was only after he was no longer alive that the Maharal became known as this mystic in his writings in Machshava and Musar and Hashkafa, you know. But you learn that in his lifetime he was a posek. The Maharal had a yeshiva in Prague, I believe. I think if I remember correctly, the way he wanted, they didn't use the same printing presses, the same Tzur Sadaf. He wanted on the Gemara, we have Gemara, we have Rashi Tosfos. If I remember correctly, I believe that the Maharal wanted the Gemara with Rashi, and he wanted the Piskei Harosh. He wanted the Rosh. He felt that was like more halach lemaisa on the daf, and that's what they did. So let me explain to you, what the Maharal is about to say. The Maharal, this is Rabbi Yehudale Lowell of Prague, says you can wash netilas yadayim on the grass. Why? Because he says he is sold over here on how to understand the concept of psik reisha. Says that psik reisha only applies where the result of the malacha is happening right now. The result of what you're doing is going to happen mamish right now, but if it's something that's going to be in the future, then you're not mechaving for that, then it's okay. If you have something that's going to be in the future, then that's not going to be a problem. And here's a raya for this, right? If you want to... That's essentially what he says. I'll show you the proof of this is a Rashi. Let's go to my next source for a minute. No, let me show you the Gemara that the Rashi is based on. It makes more sense to go through it. Ayin Gimel Amud Beis. Omer of Kahana, Zomer B'tzorech Le'itzim Chayiv, Shtayim. So we actually saw that. If you remember back, this Gemara that we're quoting right here, fancy schmancy, I'm going to highlight this right over here. This Gemara, well, too much. This Gemara that we're quoting right now, if I highlight that, you'll see this was the whole kash that we used back in the beginning. One second. Oh, where is it? Lost it. Oh, Omer of Kahana. Right? This Gemara that they're recording right now in Moed Katan, that we use our attack back and forth between between Rabbah and Rav Yosef. So now we see the actual source. That was there was quoted, but here's where it comes up. Gemara in Shabbos. Let's get back here. Here we go. Yuchayv Shtayim. Achas Mashum Kotev, Achas Mashum Noteya. Okay. So on this Gemara, Rashi explains, let me scroll down, L'hatzmiach ha-gefen, that Zoymer is because you want the, I had to translate, you want the vine to grow better, right? You want it right now. But if it's something, if you something that you know, you didn't have kavana for the vine to grow, then you wouldn't be chayev. But Rashi learns, and Rashi, the way, again, let me go step by step. The Maharal is using this Rashi, again, Zomer lehatzmiach hagefen, because you had kavana to enable the vine to grow better. And that's why you're chayev. But if you didn't, and if it was something to be in the future, you would not be chayev for that. So then comes along the Maharal and has a kula for us. Washing your hands over the grass would not be a problem, according to this, because that's not called psikresha. Oh, wow, that's a whopper of a chiddush. That's a whopper of a chiddush. Okay, now let me go a little bit on the Sefer Yerayim. The Sefer Yerayim says like this: V'chilas moed katan oimrim mashkim man lezroim b'shabbes b'shumayim mesrim bei because the morsa. Rabba Omer Shem Choresh, Rav Yosef Omer Mishem Zoreh, Hilkach, Torech Adon Lizohim, and Malkam Shasavim, Zoroim, Tzrichim, Lamayim. Oh, this is the whole part. Look at this line. You have to be careful. B'malkam Shasavim, Hazroim, Tzrichim, Lamayim. Where they need the water. That's the case where you have to be careful about doing this. But we can construct a case where the grass does not need water. Could you think of an example where water would be technically falling on the grass, but it doesn't need the water? Ah, Meir, you're on the shear. Excellent, Meir. Well, think for a second. Give me an example of a case where the water, the grass doesn't need the water.
Certain times of the year where it can nourish itself. Maybe in the winter, I don't know, in the winter time, there's certain times where remains status quo even without water.
Okay, good. When else would we say that there's there's no need to actually water? Think about it. It's almost so obvious, probably like staring in the face. When's another time we think that we don't need technically to water the grass?
Rain before Shabbos.
Bingo. That's it. There you go, Mayor. You get a donut. You get a donut for playing the game show tonight. Correct. Think about it. When the ground is saturated and it's wet with water, then some are medayik from this line. Look, I'm going to read it again in the Ram. I don't know how to highlight, but look where if you can see my cursor, I'm going over it. Malkam Shasav Azroim Tsrichin Lamayim, where it needs the water. That's the only time it's a problem. But I'm not doing anything. If it's raining for 2 days, and now I want to wash the Tilas Yadayim over the it rained a tremendous amount and the grass doesn't need the rain anymore, then there wouldn't necessarily, be a problem with that. Now, I'll tell you where this does come up. I'll tell you where this comes up. I don't remember if I got the Shiloh this year. I think I did. You'll tell me. Did it rain on Sukkot this year? I forgot already. I was quarantined. I don't remember too much. Did it rain?
Really. It was actually a beautiful Sukkot.
It was a beautiful Sukkot? So when did I get maybe it was last year. I got the Shiloh, about the classic question about, the people put the covers over their schach, right? They put the schlach and then they want to roll it off. So what happens, if I roll my cover off, so there's rainwater, they caught on that. That rain now is going to hit the ground. So am I allowed to do that? Am I allowed to, have the thing? So let's just quickly chazer what we said so far, and we'll figure out if this works. We started off the whole machlokas in Moed Katan about whether it's Zoreya or whether it's Choresh, right? And the Rambam said it is Zoreya. If you have water hitting the ground, That is Zoreya. And then we saw based on the Sefer Trumos that you shouldn't really wash your hands. The Ramah says you don't really eat over grass because it's going to be a Psik Reisha. We have a little bit of a leniency from the Maharal that we don't say Psik Reisha by the Mashke because that effect's going to happen something in the future, right? And for Psik Reisha to be also, everything has to happen right now. Like when you cut the head off the chicken, that happens right now, right? Or if you're dragging a heavy chair on grass, it's making a furrow, it's making a hole, we're doing that's right now. But the Yoreim over here said, and the way that some of the Rishonim are Medayik, look at this line again, Shitzrichin Lamayim, that only if the ground really, really needs it. So, does the ground really need it if it's been raining? No, it doesn't. So that would be one heter to use to do that. However, there's another kula as well. There's a Satmar Dayan in Williamsburg who says that there's a din of grama over here. Now, grama is a whole. It's a topic unto itself, but it means it's indirect. It's not hitting. It's going to hit the concrete first, hit the concrete, and then it's going to go. Rav Willig, I think, also has a cool like this as well. So then there are heterim to do this. Are there any questions so far on what we talked about tonight about the Zoreya? I'm going to close out my screen for a second. There's actually, I can get, going to grab Rabbi Bush's Sefer. I wish to say for here, Shoel the Shlomo. So he has numbers of Shilas and Chuvas that he was asked about this, and he has a piece in here. I didn't put it onto the source sheet, but it's here in the Sefer. I'm just going to quickly turn page 85. He's asked the question: Shalti Misha Roitzel La'orich Seuda LaChagigas Bar Mitzvah Shel Bano B'Shabes V'Lo Hayem Mokum Mafsik L'Chol Ha'orichim. He wants to make a meal for his bar mitzvah, his son, and he doesn't have a big enough place right away. Kiyim begins all, only in the backyard. Ha'im tzarech l'mnoa m'la'orech su'uda mishum chashash hashkos asovim b'ki ha'gavna. Can he do it? Question is posed to Rev Bush. I'm not going to go through all of the riots, but he talks about many of the sources we did in tonight. At the end of the day, he says like this. Benidon didan nearly she'ein la'osar. It would seem, says Rav Bush, in this case, we should not prohibit it. Chada, one reason why not. She'ein oisin netilas yadayim el bebayis v'lo chutzlo. We're not washing netilas yadayim outdoors, we're washing indoors. That was one of the concerns. Ubezeh mesulik ha'chashash harishon. That would take care of any concerns we have with that. V'od, an additional reason that we could be makil and allow it. She'oichlin al yad Shulchanos v'lo agabe hakarka, right? We're eating on top of tables. We're not eating directly over on the ground itself. Ve'inosu mitam havei dovish minyan that in bottle hatam lo bottle gazera. You don't tell me that's a dovish minyan and we can't do this. Shahare lo gozu b'dovrze el hiru de tov lahachmir k'moshkos Ramah. So when we read the Ramah back in Shin Lamed Vav, it said it's good to be machmir on this. But yeah, okay. Because it could very easily turn into a psik resha. Mihu b'makom she'ena korov psik resha. In a case where it's not really such a realistic concern that's going to happen to psik resha, v'nisha b'davar she'en mischavim ba'alma, and all is going to be something you didn't have kavanah to happen, eino tzorich lahachmir. So one does not have to be machmir. One could, in fact, eat outdoors and arrange his seuda for that. So good. We got into the first of the malacha. Mirat Hashem, next week we will do something on the malacha of of Choresh. And again, this shouldn't be misconstrued as learning all of the relevant halachas of Zoreya, but to do something on each one of the Lamtes malachas. I think when we get further along, Bishul and Bor, we'll spend more than just one shiur on these topics. But just to show you some practical applications, we got to talk about some key ideas like Psikresha, Dav Shem Schavein, and all these things that apply in other areas of Hilchos Shabbos as well. So, Shkoyach, everybody. If you have any questions, I'm happy to try to answer.